Hey, can we thank our band this morning for all the hard work they put in to help us have a fantastic experience in church? Church is to be enjoyed, not endured, and they have really helped us this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. It's nice to be in a nice, cool building, right? Thank you, God, for that. You do know that today is the father of tomorrow. Today is the father of tomorrow. By that, I mean what you do today, your behavior, how you act today will actually determine who you are tomorrow. Your behavior and how you act, the things you actually do, will determine who you are and who you become tomorrow. They'll determine what your harvest in your life is going to be. They will determine the sort of person you are and what people say about you is actually going to be determined on what you do today, how you act. I've got some, who likes pumpkins? Anyone like pumpkins? A bit of a nondescript vegetable, aren't they? I think you need to add cinnamon and sugar to pumpkin to make them any good, but that's just me. Here are some pumpkin seeds, right? I'm not a massive fan of pumpkin. I'll eat it because it's healthy and because I need to. I won't eat Brussels sprouts. They are the spawn of the devil. And I don't know what God was thinking when he made those suckers. But I'm not eating them. I don't care how good they are for me. Pumpkin I'll eat. But you know what? I don't necessarily feel like pumpkin. So I'm going to plant these pumpkin seeds on top of this seat. Here they are. I'm going to plant them right now. And next week when I come back, I'm going to, in faith, believe that these pumpkin seeds are going to take root, they're going to sprout, and I'm going to share with you all a huge bucket of fresh raspberries. That is what's going to happen next week, because I've planted these pumpkin seeds. There's so many problems with that, isn't there? Tick, 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 tick. You know, I got some scriptures I want to share with you this morning. And in the context of this, Jesus was, he had performed a miracle, but the crowd were not happy with the miracle he had performed. He was in the synagogue. It was on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath, which is the Jewish Saturday, is their sacred and holy day. And they had built up all these rules, which is really important, all these regulations around the Sabbath. And there was a crowd of Pharisees who actually believed all different things. Jesus often pokes them. And you don't always realize it, but he's actually dividing them because they believe different things. But one of the things that most of them believed was that you could not do any work on the Sabbath. And that included healing someone. You could save someone's life. Well, most of them thought you could save someone's life. Some of them didn't. But all of them were of the opinion that to heal someone, you couldn't do that on the Sabbath. So this guy rocks up to the synagogue, it's a Sabbath day, and he has got a withered hand. And to have a withered hand in our day, in our culture, is not so bad. But in that culture, in that day, it meant, I think the hardest thing about it was it meant you were excluded from the worship. You're excluded from being a normal person and a part of society. You couldn't work. There was no welfare. But that wasn't even the biggest issue. The biggest issue was that you were rejected as a person in your personhood. And Jesus sees this man approaching him. He, because he's Jesus, he understands the heart of those looking at him and how they're looking to prove him wrong and to check him out. And he heals the man's hand. You see, Jesus was proving something really important here. That people are so much more important than rules. People are so much more important than rules. And his behavior that day was going to set in motion a whole harvest for, in fact, the whole nation. Because he was going to show that grace and kindness is so much more important than always doing what appears to be the right thing and following the regulations. And in the context of that story, he has three different things to say, three illustrations. And I've got the first one on the screen. This is what he says in Luke chapter 6, 43 to 45. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Jesus so very often uses what is natural, what we can observe, what you can observe, to explain something that is actually supernatural. He takes how nature is and what happens to nature, what is just observable, and he gets a supernatural, spiritual application from it. So, of course, my first major problem with my pumpkin seeds and wanting instead a basket of raspberries to show you all, to share with you all, my first problem is that pumpkin seeds do not produce raspberries. Of course, Mark. What you do, the things that you do, and how you act, and your behavior, that will determine who you become. What you put into your heart, what you put into your mind, what you put into your life, the way you act, will determine the sort of person that you are. And I want to say something really important about this. I think this is really important if things are actually going okay for you. Because if things are going okay for you, the temptation is not to spend time with God. The temptation when things are going well and there is no need really to pray is not to pray. The temptation when your life is going well is to get lazy with your faith, to stop gathering together, stop giving, to stop acting in the ways that you know God wants you to act, because you feel like you can get away with it and you feel like it's not affecting you. And I feel like, I'm still a Christian and I still believe in God and things are still okay. The problem is that the harvest that is needed when you plant those seeds, they go down deep within you and they're ready for the tough times. When you spend time with God, when you spend time with his people, you're actually building up your strength. You're actually building up your character. You're actually building up a reservoir. You're actually building up resource for yourself that when the hard times come, you're ready. You're prepared. Sometimes when the hard times come, sometimes as George was sharing his story around his son and around his business going bust, his partner perhaps issues there. If when he is approached in that situation, that tough time comes, if he doesn't have that reservoir built up, if he hasn't been acting, if he hasn't been planting seeds, if he hasn't been sowing into his life, then when that time comes, he's not strong and he's not ready. He's not able to face it. For you and for me, what you plant in your life, what you put into your life is going to determine who you become. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. What are you putting in? What are you spending time on? What are you pushing into your life? You know, on the Bible app, for those of you, most of us, I would think, have got a smartphone, and there's the Bible app. And one of the things they've done in that Bible app is they have those readings, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can have a reading, a devotional. It goes for 5 days or 10 days. One of the things I love about what they put in there, maybe some of you know what I'm saying, they've got this thing called missed day. We have a missed day. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. It's like I'm going through a devotional reading and I've missed a day. And you look at that and you go, "Ooh, I've missed a day." And then they've got this other lovely little button you press on it and says, "Catch me up. Catch me up." I actually really like that. I really like that sense of accountability. I also love this other thing they've got in there, which is called a streak. And what it basically is, it shows you how many times you've opened up your Bible in a row. 10 days, 20 days, 256 days. Let's keep that streak going. Let's keep that time spent with God going. Let's spend time in His presence. Let's spend time with His people. Let's spend time giving into good things so the harvest will come. This is the first story he gives. The second story Jesus gives is this from Luke chapter, same chapter, 37 to 38. And I think he's giving this story because in the context of what he's saying, he's talking to the Pharisees who had judged that man. And he's talking to the Pharisees who didn't actually care about that person at all. They cared about their power. They cared about themselves. They didn't care about this poor man with a withered hand. Do not judge others and you will be not judged. Do not condemn others and it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. There's something that is so interesting about this passage. Sometimes you might find a pastor or a minister who hesitates to speak from it because we don't want to get sucked into the so-called prosperity doctrine, which is basically give, give, and you will get back more, and you'll get back more and more, and God will give you more the more you give. And the problem, and I wanted to say it, the problem is that's actually true. The problem is that's actually true. What is not true is that we take that and we give it to the pastor who lives in a mansion and flies a Learjet and is on TV crying because he can't buy himself another jet. That's the problem. That is the problem. The problem is not actually the scripture, because I just want you to look at the scripture. And I want you to meditate upon it. And I want you to understand some stuff about it. And in order to do that, I want to talk to you about Coles. So my daughter Ruby and I, we're going to Coles the other day. And we're getting some olives because we both love olives. The chili ones in particular. And we want to get some olives for a picnic. So we go up to the self-serve aisle. And they've got those little containers, right? They've got the $3, the $5, and the $7 container that you stick your olives into. And I'm like, Ruby, let's go for the $5 container, but let's get $7 worth of olives. Are you with me? So you go there, you get the olives, you pick the split ones because there's more ability to make this olive jar like Tetris. This is Tetris for adults. You get all the oil out and you get as many olives as you can possibly squeeze into that. And I tell you what, we got $7. We may have even got $8 worth of olives stuck in that little container. This is what we do. This is a game we play. Coles deserves it, right? Sorry if you work at Coles. When the farmer would come back in Jesus' day, they would bring the container. And they would bring the container to have it filled up with the grain. And they would shake it. That's what it says in the Bible here. They would shake it. And they would press it down. It's not like a packet of Sandboy chips with half of that packet is air, right? What is that about? Okay? You shake that packet and then what's left? They would shake that container and the seeds, the grain would be shaken down because they wanted to get the most they could fit into that jar. And the passage that Jesus is saying here is exactly this. When you give to God, you will get back so much more. He is no man's debtor. Interesting thing about this passage, what does it say? Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. And then what does it say? Running over and poured into your lap. And poured into your lap. It's actually a passage with a bite as well. There's a bite in this passage. Do not judge others, you'll not be judged. Do not condemn others, it will come back against you. Forgive others, you'll be forgiven. There's a transaction here. Give and you will receive. What size jar are you bringing to God? What are you bringing to God? Can I speak to you as a friend? Can I give you a hard word? Are you bringing Him your indifference? Are you bringing him a casual attitude? Are you bringing him, I'll get to you, God, when the time is right and when I really need you? Is that what you get back? God doesn't want that. God's not called us for that. You know, when the farmer plants the pumpkin seeds, or when he plants the grain in particular, he doesn't go there and plant one seed expecting to get one seed back, does he? What would be the point of farming if that's what we did? He actually plants one seed in order that he will get 10 back, in order that he will get 20 back, in order that there will be a hundredfold blessing that comes into his life. Am I saying, let me make it really clear, am I saying you give $5 to God, he's going to give you $10 back? I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, if you give to God, you give him your heart, you give him your life, you give him your finance, you give him priority in your heart and in your life, you will get back so much more from him than what you can ever give to him. You will get back from God so much more than what you could ever give him. But he doesn't want our indifference. He doesn't want that. He wants you to come to him and say, fill this up. Fill up this jar. Fill up what I'm giving you. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And then the final thought from Luke chapter 6, verse 46. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? How you act, the behavior that you demonstrate, what you actually do, that will determine who you become. Your behavior will determine who you become tomorrow. Jesus says, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I reckon there's a whole heap of reasons, and maybe there's two or three, why we actually obey God. I think we obey God because he's Lord. He is Lord, and we have to obey him because he's the boss. He created the universe. He is Lord of all. I look at creation, and I think there must be a reason why this world is here. There must be a creator, and therefore, if there is a creator, I am answerable to him for how I live my life. I obey God because I love him. I love my wife. I'll do things for her, hopefully, that she will be pleased with. I love my children. I will do things for my children because I want them to be happy. I love my God, and I will obey God. And I will do what he's asked me to do because I love him and I want him to be pleased with me. I want my Father in heaven to say, look at my son, look at what he's doing. I also obey God and do the right thing because I know if I'm planting these seeds of obedience, there will be a harvest. Something will come that sprouts up in my life and makes my life better. Living the way God wants us to live, doing the things he wants us to do, actually makes us happier and joyful and better people. And our lives are better because we follow God's ways. But there's a problem with my raspberry punnet. Apart from the fact that I've put the wrong seeds on the seat, is also the problem that I put them on the seat. What's going to grow on that seat? Maybe some mold, I don't know. But certainly not pumpkins are going to grow on that seat. That seat is hard. That soil is, there's no soil. There's nothing receptive there about that environment. Jesus is using something natural to show a supernatural principle. And this is what he does in this passage. What does he say? I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays their foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like the person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruin. What you do, where you plant your seed,
where you give to, what you give your energy towards, what you give your finance towards, what you give your heart towards. That's Jesus is talking about a natural principle here. Where you direct that is like putting these seeds on this hard seat. It's no good. Directing them towards that is no good. Planting your house on sandy ground, it's no good. What you give towards in your life is actually really important. Because you're planting seeds and you're making a foundation so when the tough time comes, you will stand firm. And that's Jesus. So what do I want you to do? What do I want you to be encouraged by? What's the application? Don't take God for granted. Don't take him for granted. Find ways to put down roots. Find ways to spend time with God, to pray to him, to read your Bible, to spend time with his people, to give your life and your heart towards that which is actually going to sustain you for life. You know, I wonder if there's people here who've never actually said yes to Jesus for the very first time. I wonder if you wonder about life and about what it's all about. What is life all about? Who did make me? Why am I here? What's my life for? Just going to ask Pastor Jess just to come up. We're just going to have just some time of prayer just now. And I want to pray because I think there's some people here need to respond. Father, now in this moment, I pray expecting that your Holy Spirit is speaking. And Lord, I think there are some people here that need to respond to your word and respond to you, Jesus. So Spirit of God, just speak now. I pray in your name.